And it's like I hear myself speaking before it comes out of my mouth. And then I'll go and I'll even pray with those people and talk to them. And everything that God had shared with me is what they were going through. It's weird, but it's beautiful. And so I felt my brother's pain this week. And it took me deeper. And I just want to, I think we should all be praying for that kind of fellowship with the Lord so that we can, you know, his whole commission to us is to love each other the way he loved us. And we experience his love through those kind of circumstances. And in that, we can experience each other better. Amen. Amen. We're able to get through things and help each other get through things. Anyways, this week, as I was looking at this scripture, I could see more of what... I could just read you the scripture and explain it to you the way that it looks, but I could see like why it was written. I could see the struggle that my brother was having, and it had nothing to do with him. See, when you look at scripture like we're going to look at today, you think that the person's talking about themselves and the struggles they have and what they're going through, what people are putting them through. But that's not what a true believer who loves the Lord goes through. A true believer who loves the Lord, he goes through... In this passage of scripture, he doesn't care about what's going on with him, what people have said about him, what's, you know, all these things. He's concerned about the people he's writing to. He's only sharing these things because others are using things like that to try to hurt what God has grown. Amen. And so he only mentions it because he doesn't want the people who are he's writing to be hurt anymore. And he wants them to be set free from the things that people are saying and doing. And so in saying that, I want to share this with you before we get started. And it's something I don't do. I just don't ever do it. It should be done, but I just don't do it. I've never wanted it to be done to me. I've never wanted it to be expected. I never expected it is what I'm saying. But it's still something that should be done. And so I just want to tell each and every one of you that do things here for the Lord that you're appreciated. You really are. And that's not said enough. You know, the things that you guys do are what makes this place a place of worship. Amen. It doesn't matter what the part is you play, whatever God's called you to is what makes this the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. And so I know I don't say it. I don't think I've ever said it, have I? How long have you known me? Amen. I should be saying it to you. Have grace with your brother. No, I heard that earlier. Those things need to be said. And I'm not one that expects it, so that's probably why I don't say it enough. Okay? But just know that you guys are appreciated and each and every one of you are important. And it's like God constantly is showing me the things I'm supposed to share, you know, through circumstance. And then saying that, I want to say this. Because this is what we're actually talking about today, okay? Anytime God calls you to something, the world's going to try to take you down. The enemy's going to try to use things. He's going to use people. He's going to use emotions. And he's going to try to take you down. Okay? We've seen it for year after year after year in everything we've tried to do, right? Okay? Those things are they're inevitable. So I want to encourage you in anything that God's called you to do it to the best of your ability, no matter what's happening around you, because it's not about the people who are saying things or doing things, or it's never going to be about that, okay? It's going to be about what God has called you to so that he can work through you to touch the lives of people around you. Don't let the lies, of the enemy come through anywhere if you know God's called you to something. You stand firm in what he's called you to and you let him work, amen? So that's what Paul's dealing with in the church in Corinth. I want to give you a little background is that Paul started that church. Okay, he walked into a city. He looked around. He's like, Lord, where can I serve you? And he began to speak to people and people began to listen. And after a while, it turned into something. Amen. And it started to grow. And people's lives were changing. Okay. But Paul's mission was, as a missionary, was to travel and as an evangelist and keep sharing and building churches. And so he left that place, right? Like leaving the 99 to go after the one. Amen. He left that place to go start again and again, because that's what God's calling was. And when he looked back, right, and he's getting letters and he's hearing all these reports, people had infiltrated the church. Okay, and you guys can say whatever you want, but we do it to each other. Okay, we come in with our emotions, our thoughts, different things that we shouldn't be responding to even. They're the things that God gave his life to set us free from. Okay, and yet we bring them into the church and we mess things up. Amen. And so Paul's getting all these reports and he's like, whoa, like, wait a minute. Right. And they're even saying things like, he's not an apostle. Paul's not an apostle. You guys are listening to somebody who says he's something he's not. Okay. And in Corinthians, second Corinthians, I think it's in 12, it talks, he's defending that. Because people are saying that he's not. And he calls them super apostles because it had to be some of the apostles and the Lord's brothers, he says, who brought this into the church. Okay? Trying to destroy the freedom we have in Christ as Christians. Are you a Christian today? Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Are you not free?
Yes.
Are you not free?
Yes.
Then don't be bound. Amen. Don't let anybody bound you. And if God's called you to something, you fulfill what he's called you to. Because there's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be a word said. There's always going to be emotions that come against you. Okay? Just do what God fulfilled you to do. Do what he called you to do. Amen? Okay? And don't let anything stop you. And every once in a while, if you have to defend yourself, don't defend yourself because you need to be defended. Defend yourself so that the people you're defending, amen, can remain free in him. Because that's what's happening here. I've read through it, and I've prayed, and I've read through it. Paul doesn't have to defend himself. Most of you have known me a long time, right? Right? Very seldom do I ever defend myself. You know what I always resolve to do? Just what God called me to do. You know what my Bible says? It's going to come out in the wash. The truth always comes out. I don't have to defend myself. You get it, Paul? If I'm doing something God's called me to, I don't have to defend myself. I just have to do what he called me to. You get it? He'll work it out. Amen. And what he's called me to is always going to be to elevate and exalt the church, to exalt his body. Amen. Amen. It's never going to be to tear it down. And so that's the other side of the coin I need you to see, okay? If you're the one that's bringing that into the church that causes disunity and stuff like that, you're still going to be loved the same. No one's going to go against you or anything like that. But even that comes out in the wash. It's better just to give it to the Lord. Amen. I've told you guys repeatedly, I've done more harm in the church than I ever did good. Because I was that person. You get it? I didn't mean to be. I thought I was doing the right thing. But it's like Francis said today, give me grace because I'm the biggest sinner. Paul says I'm the chief sinner. Amen. Just give me grace. Love me. Help me through it. Walk with me. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Because good always overcomes evil.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? And so when we read through here today, don't think that Paul's trying to defend himself. Paul's concern was for the church. And he was only defending himself or saying what he was saying in defense of it so that the people that are listening to people, right, remember the truth when he first came in and loved them. Remember the truth when he wanted nothing from you except for you to have everything in Christ. Amen? Right, Matthew? When you came in, I saw your truck over there peeling out because you were late. I mean, you know, I'm not saying anything. I'm just, you know. Amen? Angie's like, yeah, he's talking about somebody else. I was excited to see my brother come to church. Like, really excited, amen? Why? Because we have a history and we love each other. Paul has a history with these people and he loves them. He doesn't want anybody coming in and changing what originally first saved them. The first thing they walked in that gave them life. Amen. Don't let anybody steal that from you. And I'm going to say this last thing, and I'm going to say it out loud, and I want us to practice it as a church, okay? If something like that is happening, let's say no. If it's the pastor of the church whispering in your ear something isn't right, turn to him and say no. No, I don't want that in my life. I don't want to see my brother or sister like that. I love my brother and sister, and even if that's happening, I'm going to walk with them until they get it right. Amen? Let's be Christians. Let's just love each other. I'm the pastor and I'm the least perfect person here. Amen? Amen. What do you mean, amen? You all right, brother?
That's right.
Amen. So when I was reading this, it's like I could share with you guys about, supporting the pastor, doing this, doing that. I could take you all over the place, starting in Deuteronomy with don't muzzle the ox when he's treading the grain. You know, I could tell you all the things that most people tell you, but that's not what I saw. I saw a man whose heart was broken for the church. And his heart was broken for the church because he knew that God called him to say and do the things he did that changed those lives. He even says it. It was to save you. Amen?
Amen.
And I know where his heart is. Okay, I'm not here for any other reason than for you guys to come to know Christ if you don't know him and for you to grow in him. Amen? And every time somebody comes to know Christ, it's like it's happening to me again for the first time. Every time I see somebody get something and they start to grow, it's like I'm learning it again for the first time. Amen. And you guys are learning so fast, you're teaching me things and I go, amen. Right, Brother Paul? Amen. You see these young people thriving and thirsting and seeking. You guys are seeking. There's mega churches that don't have anybody seeking. They just sit and wait and listen. But you guys are reaching out for yourselves and you're finding the truth. Amen. God has lit a fire under you. Don't let anybody put that fire out. Nobody. Amen. Okay, let's go to Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. I'm going to make this short so Francis can sing some more of that beautiful music.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, brother. I almost spaced out. Usually it's Paul telling me. another 50-minute intro. these youngsters trying to keep me in check. Thank you, Lord. I just want to come to you, Father, thanking you for today. Thank you for your word, Lord, and how it speaks to us and how our hearts change because of it, Lord. It's not even about our ministries. It's about the people your ministry through us touches. And I just ask, Father, that we always remember that we always know that you touched us so that you can touch others. And I really believe that with my whole heart, Lord, that it's not even about us anymore. It's about the lost. We shouldn't even be just in this building all the time with each other, but we should be sharing you with everyone. And I just truly ask, Father, that as we read your word, Lord, that your truth comes out. Lord, that it's about you. It's not about us. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The very first 9:1, I love this. The very first part of the verse, it says, am I not free? Am I not free? You know, when I think about the message from last week, right? He's telling the church, are you not free? Right? Because he described all kinds of things last week that they were bound to because somebody brought something in and they started listening. We're Christians. I said it earlier. Are you not free? Are you a Christian today? Are you not free?
Absolutely.
Amen? He says, am I not free? Am I bound by the things that you guys are beginning to follow that aren't right? Are you bound, sister? No, you're free. Amen? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? He uses that to tell you that I want to tell you the whole story. right? There's this Pharisee and he's full of rage and he hates Christians. And the whole time the Holy Spirit's calling him like, dude, like all the things that he believes in, all the things he's trying to share with his own people are describing the one he's against. Can you imagine? The whole time. And that's a good example of what we talked about earlier, right? People bringing things in, having an attitude, having this thing going on here or there, right? And the whole time, it's against what they say they believe. They're going against God. They're not against you. Battle's not against flesh and blood. Amen. When we sin, I'm not sinning against you when I do something. I'm sinning against my Father in heaven because he has called me to something better and he's called me to love you. You get it? And he's using that example. And so he's gotten letters. You've heard the story, Jacob. Jacob gave a great testimony on this. Okay? He got letters to go into Damascus to round up men and women and put them in prison. You know what happens to them after they go to prison? A lot of them are going to die. And when he says right here, let me put my glasses back on. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? He's talking about that moment in time. It's that moment in time when the Lord revealed himself to him and this bright light shined on his way to Damascus to do that. And he fell to his knees along with everybody with him. The light was so bright and they heard this loud voice, you know? And he said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing that? Imagine, he says, Lord, who are you? He knew who he was because he had been being called. Just like we're always called to do the right thing. Don't tell me that you're not battling the right thing when you're doing the wrong thing, because you already know, because you already know him. He was battling and God blinded him and he told him, get up and go into the city and wait for me. I'm going to send you a sign. And when he got up, his eyes were open, but he was blind. He couldn't see, so the people with him had to help him. And he went into the city, right? And he's in the city, and God goes to a man named Ananias and starts to tell him, there's a man named Paul, or Saul at the time, Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to go to him because he has to know the things he's going to suffer for me. And Ananias is like, heck no, Lord, I ain't doing it. I've heard all kinds of reports about that guy. You know what I'm saying? He's like, no, I told you to go. And at the same time, Paul's having a vision in his prayer about a man coming to him named Ananias. Amen. And healing his blindness. Do you know what happened, you guys? It was a physical blindness, but it was a spiritual blindness that needed to be healed. Amen. And when God came in, he healed him. The Bible says in Acts and it says in Galatians that he spent time with the Jesus. Amen. In Galatians, it said he spent 2.5 years in Saudi Arabia, the desert, with Jesus. Imagine. And this is him telling us, did I not see the Lord? Was I not with him? Where did this stuff come from that we share every day? This is the word of God, amen? Beautiful story, but he's telling them. You guys are listening to things that are outside of what I shared, because I only shared what was given me. And that should tell us that we should only share what's given us. We're not always going to be in agreement. We can agree to disagree. Angela, I don't care if I have a problem with you or you have a problem with me, as long as we work together in Christ to solve it. Because then it's not going to be your side or my side. It's going to be his side that's right. And he always fixes it. Amen? Are you not the result? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Amen? Even though, and you know, I was wrong. I want to share this with you guys. I was wrong. I used to say those things. Matthew, he's in agreement with me back there. right? But it is what God calls us to, that we put our efforts in, that we see the lives change and people grow. Amen? But it doesn't give us any more than the person's getting. We've got it, the same thing that God's giving them. We're no better or no less or no more. It doesn't matter. I used to think, man, I just want to win somebody like Billy Graham. Then I got all the credit for everything Billy Graham ever did. I only need to win one. It's a lie. It doesn't mean anything. You get it? It's far out, huh? Here we go. Even though I may not be an apostle to others, those are the ones that are saying different, amen? And why would they say different only to change the heart of the person who's already had their heart changed by the Lord? Amen. Surely I am not for you. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. Okay. Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. You get it, Nick? As much as you hate me, brother, most of the time. He doesn't hate me, but you know, he acts like it. You love me. And you love me more than you'll ever think to be angry with me. Why? Why? Because we walk together in the Lord. Your life changed. You grew up in Him. You're a good man who loves the Lord. Amen? I'm not taking credit for that. I love that it happened. You get it? And that's what He's telling them. It may not be this way or that way for somebody else, but surely it's this way or that way with you. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. That's where I wanted to take you to Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. There's other ones too. Philippians 4, you guys can go to. You can write that down and go there when you want to, but I mean, I don't want to take all day. Okay. 11. You guys there? 2 Corinthians 12, 11. I've done this myself several times. That's why I say I'm in this guy's head. I've literally made a fool out of myself for some of the people in this room and others several times and not even care, because it's about them, not about me. It's about their walk, amen? You ready? I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. You know why I don't have the respect that other pastors have? Because I don't ask for it. I just want to be with you. I don't lord over you. I don't ask anything of you. Man, I want everything for you. That's what he's saying right there. I mean, if it was up to me, you guys would put Pastor Parkin out there. First lady, you'd use white gloves to pass out the Lord's Supper. I'm just teasing now. I'm getting her. Stop looking at me like that, sister. It's okay. Francis, stop them. It's that part up, but it's 11. I have made a fool, okay? I made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles. And you know, he didn't even want to talk against them. He was trying to get people to come back to what they first believed. Amen. Even though I am nothing, the things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. How were you inferior to the other churches? Except that I was never a burden to you. Forgive me for this wrong. Amen. We were talking the other night. Do you remember the freedom we have in Christ? And Jacob made the statement that if it wasn't like that, I wouldn't stay. If it wasn't like that, I wouldn't stay. Get it? Because we've had people lording over us. We've had rules and regulations we had to follow that weren't biblical. We're not a church without rules, but we follow Christ. Amen? You get it? Let's go back to Corinthians 9. Don't think I'm trying to defend myself today either, you guys, because I said it earlier, it all comes out. Do we have the right to take believing wives? Is that where I am? No, back here at 30, right? This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us? As do other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas. Remember, I told you he's actually naming the people who came in to try to cause problems. And I want to tell you guys something. He doesn't even want to speak against them. He probably only wrote it out loud so that maybe their life could change. They could see their wrong. Or is it only I and Barnabas who must work for a living, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk? Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Does not the law say the same thing? And he's talking about the law of Moses when he says in Deuteronomy, And it's kind of random. You guys go there and read it. He's talking about other things, and then random, just out of the blue, he throws that in there, and then he goes back to what he was talking about. But it just simply says not to muzzle the oxen while he's treading your grain. You know, my sister Emmy one time said something to me because I was so against it. And she brought me to Galatians 6:6, and she asked me what I thought it meant. Do you remember that, Em? Amen. And it's the same principle. Okay. And you guys can look it up, but let's get back into where we were at. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? And I want to tell you something though, before I go on. Okay. I was in ministry for 20 something years. And I had been offered all kinds of things over those years. The last time that I was offered anything substantial was in Colton. And it wasn't even from the church, it was from another church. And I never accepted anything until I came here. I want you to know I do have a housing allowance here. A lot of you probably don't know that, but it's true. I've never accepted anything until here. And the only reason why I accepted it here is because nobody here put anything on me. Nobody like everywhere else I was ever at, there was a contingency. You understand? And so I never accepted it. And that's what Paul was dealing with in this church. There was times where Paul did accept things. He accepted things from the Philippian church, from Philippi. And he said, even when nobody else supported me, you supported me over and over and over again. Amen? So I understand him here as well, because there was years and years and years where I didn't even ask the church for anything I was doing in ministry that God called me to. God always provided that, okay? So he's saying the same thing. He knew that in this church, because of who he was dealing with, that he couldn't ask for anything, that he didn't want anything because it would have hindered the gospel being shared. Amen? Okay, so 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about ox that God is concerned? He's trying to tell us it's not going to be about, it's not that it's not about the ox, amen, because God loves every creature, but it's about us, amen? And we need to love each other that way. It is about the ox. God is concerned. Surely he says this for us. Doesn't he? Yes. This was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do it in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seeds among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. And that's what I did for 25 years. You get it? Amen. If there were strings attached, I wouldn't accept it. Would have never happened. And that's what happened, and that's what he's talking about here. He didn't want it to be owned by any man. In the same way, is that where I am? No, wait a minute. Where am I? But we did not use this right. Is that where I am? Could you know? 10. Thank you. 10?
No, just above, up below green. It's about auction.
What? I read all that.
9.
What?
9.
Okay.
It's above green.
I'm pretty sure I read way more than that. Okay, I'll start in 12. I think that's where I'm at. If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than the hindering the gospel of Christ. Yeah, I read that. Okay, 13. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple? And those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rites, and I am not writing this in the hope that you will do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Amen. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Amen. I love that scripture because it wouldn't take, nothing could be given and nothing could be taken that would stop me from sharing the gospel. Amen. There was times I was angry about something and I was sharing it from the pulpit because it was just the people that are always there with us in ministry, you know, at the time. And I told them, this is the gospel. And if nobody wants to agree with it and I'm here by myself next week, I'm going to still preach the gospel. You get it? You don't go against God's word for anybody. And you share it. Just share it. You're compelled to do so. Amen? You've been entrusted with the very words of God. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of the right in preaching. Though I am free and belong to no man, I am making myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, this is where it switches up a little bit. He starts talking about who we need to be when we share the gospel. You know, we run across all kinds of different people, don't we? Right? And the only difference in all the different people and how we might act around everyone, the only difference is we never compromise Christ. We never do it. We don't compromise Christ. Amen. If I'm hanging out with Angie and she's acting all gangster, I'll act all gangster with her. Amen. But I won't do the things Angie does when she's being a gangster. Amen. She doesn't do those things anymore, but you get it. Okay. Here we go. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I become like a Jew to win the Jew. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. That's one of the ways he's telling you I'm not going to compromise Christ, right? So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law, I become like one not having the law. Listen, ready? Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So you do it all without compromising him. Amen? It's like when we hang out with people for the first time that don't know him. Right? We hang out with people for the first time that don't know him. What do? We don't act like them. We don't do the things they're doing, but we spend time with them. Why? Because we want to show them something different. Amen? To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Remember we talked about that earlier? Right? The only thing in his heart is that people will be saved. And the only thing in his heart is that people that have been saved, that are being led astray, come back to that which first saved them so that their heart will be the same, that others would be saved. You get it? And you can hang out with people and spend time with people and of all different types of people and all the different things they're struggling with and going through. You get it? But you just don't do the things they're doing. You do the things you've been called to do. Amen. Amen. To the weak I become weak to win the weak, and I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. Again, you do it without compromising Christ. There it is again. That's the third time. That I may share in its blessings. See, now he's talking about the real blessings. He's talking about the spiritual blessings. He's talking about what I shared earlier. Right? When somebody gets saved, it's like I'm being saved. When somebody's growing, it's like I'm growing again. Okay? You know when you have a healthy church is when people are growing. When there's new people coming in and new people getting it and they're growing in the Lord. Okay, why? Because it takes the people that have been there for that to happen, for them to grow again. You get it? They get refreshed by it. Do you not know that in a race, and this is for you guys and for me, it's for all of us today, okay? If we're not seeking the Lord and seeking him with our whole heart like we did in the beginning, we need to do it. Amen? He's going to use a worldly example here for what we should be doing in him, okay? Do you not know that in a race, all the runners but one get the prize? I'm sorry. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Spend time with God in such a way, you guys, that you have an expectation that he's going to speak to you. Wait and listen for his voice. Amen. And then act upon what is shared. Okay. Spend the time with him that you used to spend doing other things that he's delivered you from. Do you know that if we spent the time with him that from the things he's delivered us from, we should be spending more time with him now than we are anywhere else? Amen? And we need to run the race as if to win the prize. You get it? There's a purpose there. A purpose-filled life is somebody who seeks God in such a way that God can use his life to rescue others. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last. He's using a worldly example of what we should be doing spiritually. Everything that God gives us, you guys, is eternal. And the greatest gift he gives us after we're saved is others coming to know him. They, just the same way we became eternal, they become eternal. Amen. Watch what it says. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. Therefore, I do not run. This right here scared me when I read these next couple of verses, and I'm going to tell you why. And I think that every one of you are going to relate to it, and I'm going to end with this, okay? But if God is not doing anything other than showing us things, do you understand? Then we're not doing the things that God's called us to do. We're not. So many of us go through the motions, but nothing's coming from it. It's like a man just beating the air. You get it? And do you know why that is? Because we're not putting our whole heart into it. And I'm not talking about what he's called us to. I'm talking about into him. Because he will give us what we need. This is a very hard scripture for me. Because sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I feel that way. We put on big events, and the only people that come are the people from the church. And do you know that if all we did was invite people, this church would grow. And then we invite people and they don't come, and we've been told things, or they come once or this or that, and we get discouraged, just like we talked about in the beginning. Don't ever be discouraged from what God's called you to. Right? And we just read it. Do everything, become everything to all people. Why? That you might win some. Amen? Don't ever give up. Otherwise, it's just like what he's going to say right now. And I think every one of us can relate to this. Are you ready? 26 is where I'm at, yeah? Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, this is something that was asked of me this morning. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Amen. What does it mean to beat your flesh into submission? What does that mean? Amen, right? You know what it is, you guys? Everybody thinks it's a physical thing, right? Beat your flesh into submission. You know what it is? It's everything. What causes you to think that way? What causes you to do those things? What causes you not to do them? What hinders you? Why is it everything you try doesn't work out? There's a reason for that. You want to know what the reason is? You haven't put everything into it. You haven't given it your all. When you give it your all, people see it. They know that the one you serve is real and righteous and alive and active, and he's moving. Amen? If we keep going off of emotion, we keep going off of hurt or things of the past, we're never going to be the people God's calling us to be that might save some, that might change a life. Amen? You get it? Paul wasn't concerned for himself in any of this. He was concerned for the church and their complacency and how they got there. And he even had to call some brothers and sisters out that he didn't want to call out because he loves them too, but if he doesn't call them out, people aren't going to see that it's wrong. This is the one thing I want you to leave with today. If somebody's saying something, whether they're right or wrong, and you don't want that in your heart, tell them no. Don't go tell somebody else. Don't come tell the pastor. You stop it where it starts. You just tell them no. You don't have to be mean. You have to be loving. I'm sorry that you feel that way, and I love you, but I don't want to feel that way about my brother or sister. And if it's true, we shouldn't be talking about them and being hurt by them. We should be loving them and walking with them. We should be the example set for them. Amen? And then encourage each other with those words. Love each other even when they're unlovable. I want to say this for the millionth time in the church. That's a lie, but it was real close, okay? Okay? They're the ones who need the love the most. They need you the most. If they're acting out and you see it, if something isn't right and they're carrying on, they need you the most. Amen. Father, we just want to come to you, Lord, just thanking you for today. And I'm sorry, Lord, sometimes I feel like I didn't do your word justice. And I just shared the things I thought you were sharing with me, Lord, that I really felt that needed to be said, Lord. And I thank you for them. I ask, Father, that if any life here was touched by your word today, Father, that they wouldn't leave here today, Lord, feeling like they felt, but that they would leave here today free, just like the first part of verse 1, Lord. It shouldn't say, am I? It should say, are we not free? Are we not free, Lord? Are we not Christians? Lord, I ask that you would put in each and every one of us, Lord, a freedom that doesn't let us get bound again, not by our own emotions or somebody else's, Lord, but that we always seek the truth, that we always seek you in every matter, Lord. And Lord, that even if we have to act on something because we know that it's not of you, Father, Lord, that we do it in love the way that you loved us when we were acting like that. And if we're the ones acting that way, Lord, and you've revealed that to us, we just ask, Father, that you'd forgive us of that, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, and let us move forward, Lord. Let us seek you in those things so that you can change those things about us. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. I thank you for your place in our lives where, Lord, we know the truth. We read it today. Even when we're doing these things, we know they're wrong and we're fighting against ourselves. And I just ask, Lord, that I'm not even talking about so much what happens here, but what happens in every area of our lives, Lord. It's not. I hope that people here today, Lord, aren't just thinking about the church here, Lord, but the church everywhere. Everywhere in our lives, Father, whether we're at home or work or wherever we are, Father, that we need to remember that we're free and that we're Christians. And we need to know and remember that which set us free. And I thank you for it, Father. And I just ask again, Lord, if there's anybody here that that you spoke to today, Lord, that this is a time where we give it to you, Father, where we lay it down. And we ask, Lord, with a great request that we don't pick it up again, but that you deliver us and show us, Lord, and lead us, Father. We don't want to be people that fight aimlessly into the air. We don't want to be a people that do things and never get anything done. We want to be a people that when we do something and we know we were called to it, Lord, that we know that your hand is in it and that you're leading us, Lord. And so we ask these things of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hey, I hope not.